to go to two places. Go to Genesis chapter 25. And also we're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Listen, let me share my heart with you just for a minute. God has really been speaking some things to me about what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do in this area. Now, how many remembers 2 weeks ago I spoke about it all comes down to this at the Red Sea. You know, there's some people standing at the Red Sea, and the choice the children of Israel had to decide: are we gonna take that step and we're gonna go on the other side, or we're gonna stay here? I may be feeling good on Sunday, but Monday morning I hear Pharaoh's chariots chasing me. And he's coming hard. What am I going to do? Am I going to go back to Egypt? Oh, Jesus. And be in oppressive bondage? Or am I going to walk this thing out? And am I going to be free? Amen. Joe Farmer comes last Sunday. And how many knows, I don't know if you realize it or not, but a different text, but almost the same message. The man with the infirmity for 38 years, there's nobody to put me in the water. Amen? And then we spoke here on Wednesday night, and God spoke to us a very powerful word on Wednesday night. Amen? But here's the thing. Everybody say change. Come on, say it again. Say change. Now, I'm very passionate about what God has placed within my spirit to speak to you, and I know what the mandate that God has put on my life, and God has placed a mandate on my life to speak change within this region and to see people changed. Amen. I'm not interested in relief, but I want to see change. Holly, I want to see change. I'm not interested in, how many knows you can come to church every Sunday and get relief? A lot of people come to church and just get a fix, but there's no change in their life. There's no true deliverance. I'm speaking about true deliverance. How many wants to see change in this region? How many believes change is possible in this region? Now, I'm not talking about necessarily externals, but I'm talking about internals. If we're changed internally, we'll be changed externally. The internal will take care of the external. Amen. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 25. And Pastor Helton's going to help me with the next passage. Genesis 25. I apologize, Jacob. I didn't give you my verses. Genesis 25. Are you there? I need to get there. Verse 29. And Jacob saw. Let's stand for the reading of the word, will you? I like Pastor Helton's. I think it's a good thing to honor and reverence the reading of the word. Jesus. And Jacob sawed or boiled pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage," or stew, soup, if you will, "for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Everybody say, birthright. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Go ahead, Pastor Helton, and read the next verses, please.
Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 17. Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many may be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Father, we thank you for this word today, God. I pray that you'd anoint Pastor, Lord, to speak a word in season for your people, God, not only in passing words of man's wisdom, but God, in demonstration of your power, Spirit, and anointing, God. Lord, I pray that your angels would be with our pastor, that your Holy Spirit would go forth and minister this word, God. Let it be sowed in good ground, Father. And I ask, God, let us not be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. Let it just so deep into our spirits, God, that it becomes a part of us and that we'll apply it to our lives, God. Not hearers only, but doers of the word this day, God. And I pray if there be anyone in this place, God, with any need, God, especially for their soul to be saved, God, I pray that your spirit of conviction would season this word, God, and it will stir the hearts of your people to come face to face with you in repentance and be saved, God. Open the ears of your people, God, to hear the word, God, the prophetic anointing. Let it just elevate and increase upon this word, that each of us will walk out of this place, God, refreshed and changed and challenged, God, by your word, and let us apply it. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Somebody say change. Come on, say change. Now somebody say change me, Lord. Come on, say it again. Say, change me, Lord. Not the one to my right. Not the one to my left. But change me. Amen. So when we speak this word, I want you to let it speak to you. You know, God spoke to us very powerfully on Wednesday night. And I said, you know, when you sit in the pew and a word's been delivered and you're sitting there thinking about somebody else, and then that's the spirit of religion. Because the Pharisees were always pointing the finger to somebody else, and they were that religious spirit that Christ had to battle, amen, when he was here, they were always pointing the finger to someone else. But you know what? You need to say, let me receive and let God speak something to me that's going to change me. Amen. Come one more time, say change. I want God to change me. Amen. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you and say, hey, I've got this all together and you need to get where I am. I'm saying God change us all. Yesterday when I was meditating upon this word and praying, and I said, Lord, I'm going to preach to myself. Amen. Now there's not too many people that are preaching, a word that says change. Amen. A lot of people are preaching a message of adapt. To the point to where you can't tell the church from the world. It's real popular today to say, I'm born again, but show me your fruit. Amen. Now you can change your clothes. You can change your job. You can change your car. Amen. You can change a lot of things about you, but ultimately when your feet hits the floor and the rubber meets the road, you're the same person. They're all outward changes, but there's no inward changes. Now, this is my message, and God, I know that God has placed within me to preach a message of change in this area, to where people are going to, there's going to be a change of mindset in some people, to where they're going to see things differently and they're going to see who they really are. Now, I'm talking about we need to change some things spiritually, but I'm also talking about changing your mind, changing that soulless rim to where you see things different and you stop walking in defeat and you stop letting the devil beat your brains in, and you rise up and you realize who you are, that you're a child of the Most High. That was the testimony Holly gave just a few minutes ago. Amen. Now, to begin with, can we do a little bit of teaching here? Go back to verse 14. We're going to talk about change. I want to teach to you just for, that's one of the things I love about Wednesday night. We can just teach the word. Verse 14 of Hebrews 12. Follow peace with all men. Oh, God. Somebody say amen. How many knows it's important to get things right with God, the verticals, but how many knows it's important to get the horizontal right too? Follow peace with all men. Oh, this, I mean, y'all may not shout me down on some of this morning. How many knows it's important to not be at odds with the person sitting next to you? Or the person in the pew behind you? Or how about this, the church down the street? Follow peace with all men. You know what? Basically, God is saying, you need to get things right. If you're going to say that you stand with me, you need to get things right with your neighbor. Amen. Oh, this is going to be good teaching. Amen. What did he say? If you have aught against your brother and you bring your gift to the altar, go get things right before you bring your gift. God says, how can you love me whom you've not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? Oh, don't dance and shout. Oh, y'all gonna have to help me now. Don't dance and shout on Sunday morning and give God praise when you're talking about everybody come Monday. Amen. And you're not praying for your brother and your sister. Amen. You know, we have to understand that we can't argue about things that don't matter. Oh, Jesus. Somebody say help our pastor. We need to have some character. You know, don't just work on your relationship with God, but be hateful to people. I've heard people say, well, that's just the way they are. Well, they need to change. I said they need to change. Because God, you know, that's not the attitude of Christ. That's not what Christ speaks of. That's not an attribute of Christ. Amen. To say, oh, I love Jesus and then to be hateful to people. You know what? We need to reach out to people because that's how we extend the hand of Christ. And Greg was talking about it earlier. That's how we extend the hand of Christ. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His voice. We are His mouthpiece. Do you realize you're the only Bible that some people read? Amen? Are we okay? If we are, say amen. Holiness. Everybody say holiness. You know what? We have minimized this word to a denomination. Oh, let me preach. You know, we heard this preached a lot growing up. You know, holiness or hell. Who remembers those messages? Get right or get left. We used to sing songs like 99 and a half won't do. Judy, remember that? I'm sorry, Judy. 99 and a half. You know, they would preach. You know, this is a true story. When I first got saved, me and Wanda's brother, Wanda and I were not married then, but her oldest brother, Carl, you know, we used to hang together and we grew up together, rode mini bikes and all that stuff and bicycles and we used to run together, Jason, after I got saved. And I went to church 20 straight days. Hey, listen, God set me free. When I got saved, I wanted to be around the presence of God. We went to church. We'd find a place. Where are they having church at? We just wanted to be in God's house. And we'd go to some places. Karen, we went to this one place and we got there about service time. We walked in. I won't name the church. We sit down on the front pew. I'm telling you, that pastor preached his hardest to get us saved. We just sat there and grinned. You know, but he was doing a tremendous job, but he was preaching, if you're not saved and you're not walking holy, you're going to hell. He preached us hard, man. And we'd already given our lives to Jesus. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, we heard a lot of that preaching growing up, but we don't hear a lot of holiness preaching anymore. Now, you got to understand that holiness is not just an external thing. Growing up, that's the way it was mostly preached. Amen. Now, some of that was okay. Oh, help me, Lord. Modest apparel. Oh, come on. Can I stay right here just a minute? Amen. You better look the part. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard one preacher say, if you ain't selling, take down the sign. Stop advertising. Amen. It's good preaching, ain't it? I'm talking about when people see you. I feel the anointing now. When people see you, amen. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we can't get caught up in legalism. It's not about what you can't hang your relationship up in a closet. But I'm telling you what, though, when there's been a change on the inside, there should be a change on the outside. And you're not going to sell out. I said, you're not going to sell out. People shouldn't be able to look at you and know. Amen. Oh, I've done got myself into it now, ain't I? Let me just say this. Don't put people in a position to where they have to turn their head. This wasn't planned. I'm just following the leading of the Spirit. Amen? All right, we'll move on. I won't meddle. Holiness. Somebody say holiness. It's matters of the heart. It's what's on the inside. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. You know, we understand there needs to be a change of heart. Well, Jesus said, you can clean up the outside all you want, but if there's no change of heart, amen? Now, what's it say? It says, without no man shall see the Lord. Now, you know, a lot of scriptures we have attributed these scriptures to when Jesus comes, when we go to see Him. But can I tell you that not all of these scriptures, oftentimes they are talking about the now and not the future. Oh, you'll get that in a minute. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, and is into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Spirit has revealed all. It's not sitting around waiting to get to heaven so you can see. He wants you to see Him now. So when it says, you know, He wants us to see Him, He wants us to see who He is now. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So without no man shall see the Lord. So we got to understand that if we're going to see God, if we're going to see the kingdom of God, if we're going to see Him move, we're going to have to walk according to the scriptures and according to what the word of the Lord says. We're going to have to change. Is anybody with me? Somebody say change. If we ain't careful, we won't see God, we won't see His purpose, and we'll miss what He has. You can shout about it, you can sing about it, you can clap about it, but you won't see it. What a tragedy. Looking diligently. Keep going, Jacob. Let's see a man fail of the grace of God. It's the root of bitterness springing up. Now this is talking about sins of the heart, greed, pride, envy, jealousy. Oh, help us, Lord. I'd like to preach something that'll make you feel good, but I want to preach something that'll cause you to change. Are y'all going to have to pray for your pastor now? Things you can't see. Everybody, you know, everybody avoids these sins. They don't want to talk about them, is what I'm saying. Amen? You know, you can fix the outside, but when you go from a Jekyll to a Hyde, what good does it do? When you live with somebody, you know what they're like. Y'all just don't know what one is like at home. I have to say, this is what you have. What you see is what you get. Amen? I can testify to that. Now, some people, they can dance before the Lord in the church house, and when they get home, they're like a devil. Amen? I'm talking about change on the inside. I'm talking about people can appear to be one thing. When they get outside the church, there's something else. When they get in the line at Walmart, there's something else. You know, let me run my buggy past this person over here. You know, you got to watch, you know, and the Holy Spirit will check you. I walk into these places now, and you know what the Holy Spirit tells me? These people watch you on TV. Amen. And you'll see people look, and they'll turn back and look at you again. And I'm thinking, they know me. They're seeing what I'm going to do. They watch me on TV. Somebody's watching you. Don't just come to the house of God and pretend. Don't, you got to get rid of this hypocritical spirit, and you got to be the same out there that you are in here. Amen. If you're not praying out there, don't come in here and start dancing in here. Ooh. We got to be the church. And a lot of the reasons the devil's beating our brains in because we're just pretending and we're not really being what God said we need to be. If we'll be what God says we need to be, power's going to come. And you're going to be able to take over these demonic spirits that are coming against you and your family. Oh, I got to go. I got to go. You know what? We're talking about how you act. Does everybody realize that Judas was present at the Last Supper? Not everybody that sits in the pew. He was there when Jesus washed his feet and he had the money bag on his side. Right there in the middle of them. Is anybody with me? You know, I heard one preacher say, it don't make you a car just because you're in a garage. It don't make you a hamburger because you're in McDonald's. He don't make you a Christian just because you're in the church. Amen? Do y'all love me? Will you love me after it's over? God help us with the sins of the heart. Sins of the heart will make you bitter. Amen? Bitterness will come. You know what happens? Hear me now. I'm very serious. We've been talking about some things, but hear what I'm going to tell you. I don't want to miss this. When you have sins of the heart and you become bitter, it'll cause you to be cynical, and you don't expect good things to happen. Now we're getting real. You expect the worst. Amen? When someone knocks on your door, you're expecting the worst. Oh, no, what's that? Because you become bitter. You become cynical. And you never expect a good report. Don't look so much at what you're saying, look at what you're thinking. We gotta change our minds. I said we gotta change our minds. There has to be, as a man thinks, so is he. That's the problem with this area. I'm getting ahead of myself, I know. But the mindset, Randy, of this area is those are dumb, stupid people. They're hillbillies. They're rednecks. And they stereotype people from the Appalachian Mountains. It's time for that to change. But the problem is oftentimes the reason, you know, and I understand that people from away from here don't know us. And they don't know who we are. And they don't know some of the great qualities that are here. And they don't know, like Greg said, the anointing that we have in the Bible Belt and the power of God that's present in this place. But everything else, the way they look at us, that needs to change. And it has to change with us. We got to start changing by the way we think, and don't accept. We got to break the cycle and says not just because your granddad was what he was that you're going to be what he was. There needs to be a change, and it has to. There's got to be a mindset change. I said there's got to be. No, you got to understand. See who you are. Oh, hallelujah! Somebody help me. Amen. Are you with me? Now, let's go on real quick. I got to hurry. What it says. Next verse, Jacob. Is there anybody fornicator? Profane person. We talk about sins of the heart. Greed, pride, envy, jealousy. Now we're going to talk about sins of the flesh. Fornication. Can I preach you the truth? Sexual sins are completely out of control. Oh, you can't watch TV anymore. You can't watch the commercials. I'm just going to speak the truth. Amen. You're sitting there watching you can be watching a good quality program, or you're just watching whatever, and all of a sudden these commercials come on, and ever who's doing the Hardee's commercials, that spirit of lust, and come on now, they may come and get me tomorrow, amen. This is being recorded, but it's the truth, amen. And sexual sins are out of control. God spoke to me and says there's a principality that's been placed over the pornography industry. Do you realize? Do you understand? Men, hear me. Oh, Jesus, come on. This will help us. Do you realize that there's more money, the revenue that is taken in by pornography is more than all of the three major sports combined? Yes. You think, I'm telling you the truth. The revenue that's generated through that garbage, oh Jesus, help us Lord, through that sin, it's more than all three of the major sports combined. $57 billion annually through the pornographic industry. I'm telling you, you men, oh help me Jesus, come on. This, I'm talking about change. God is calling some men that's going to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand. And when the enemy comes, and I'm going to tell you what, let me see that movie. What's that movie? Take a hammer to that computer. Help us, Lord. Will somebody preach the truth? I'm trying to preach you the truth. We can sugarcoat things all day long, but when we're in the house of God and we're saying one thing and we're going home and looking at another, somebody preach the truth. If we're going to see revival, God's not going to show up in revival in the middle of a mess and field. All right. Is anybody with me? Now, what's the repercussion of this kind of lifestyle? Sins of the heart and sins of the flesh. And here's what I feel like God wants to really speak to us. Daniel, get ready. Come on, and help me here in a second. Look at verse 17. Verse 16, back up, Jacob. I'm sorry. As Esau. Everybody say Esau. Here's the repercussion. What's the repercussion from sins of the heart? What's the repercussions of sins of the flesh? As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, do you understand you're saved by grace? And if you repent, God's going to take you into heaven. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about limping into heaven. I'm talking about losing your birthright. Oh, God help us. That's the problem within this area. That's the problem within the church. People aren't walking in their birthright. As Esau, who for one morsel of bread, Esau sold his birthright. We read you that where he sold it for a bowl of soup. And then here it talks about these sins of the flesh. And then he goes on, the writer says, as Esau. Esau was hungry. He had an appetite. Oh. He was looking for something to fill that appetite. Are you with me? Do you guys understand? He sold his birthright. Do you understand that we were supposed to be reading Abraham, Isaac, and Esau? But instead, we read Abraham, Isaac. He gave up. He gave up what God had for him. He gave up his birthright. Are you with me? Esau was supposed to be the heir. Not just the spiritual heir, not just the spiritual heritage, but the financial, the provision, the land, everything that his grandfather Abraham had, everything was supposed to be his because everything he had, because he was the first. Do you understand this? But he lost it all because he was hungry. The church oftentimes lives in want, and we're living beneath our means, and we're not walking in the birthright because we're supposed to be joint heirs. We're not, you know, help us. We're not supposed to be struggling all the time. Now, I understand there's things we go through, and that's life. Life deals you a bad hand sometimes, but it's your attitude and how you face that, how you approach that. Are you going to stand up and say, no, I am a child of the Most High God? Are you going to tuck your tail and say, well, this is just the life that's been dealt to me. I'm going to live it out, and I'm just going to do the best I can. We got to change. change that mindset. We got to realize that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're supposed to be showing forth the praises of Him who's brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's time for the church to arise and say, this is not who I am. This is not my identity. This is not, I don't belong in this mess. I may have got here, but I don't belong here. It's Holly, you were in that mess, but you didn't belong in that mess. You didn't belong in that mess. Oh, glory. Come on, somebody needs to give God praise. We're selling out and we're allowing the enemy just to take everything that God has for us. I'm sick and tired of it. I said, I'm sick and tired of it. Judy, I want all that He says He has. Quit selling out for junk. Quit selling out for garbage. I get so tired of seeing people. Doris, we need to stand up and say, this is who I am. You can sit down just for a second. Jacob made a deal with Esau. He sold it all for a bowl of soup. Oh, Jesus. We talk about Jacob being a trickster. I heard one preacher say, how about Esau was just stupid? I'm sorry if that offends you. Give me your birthright. Bowl of soup. It's yours. Ernie, I have some soup down. Can I have your business? Tammy's saying, if you'll take... Tammy. Tammy's saying, ask her. If the soup is good. No. But do you get the point? Man, I'm passionate about this. If I don't ever preach, I've told God, if I don't preach anything else, I'm preaching. There needs to be a change. There needs to be a mindset change. We got to change. And it starts, you know, it starts with the church. Judgment begins at the house of God. I'm telling you, we're getting ready for some things. Some things are lining up. You know what? This is a warning. Brian will know this illustration just popped in my head. Brian will know what I'm talking about. But in underground coal mines, they have fire sensor systems along those conveyor belt lines, and they're set up to detect smoke if there's a belt along that fire, if there's a fire along that bell rather. You know what I'm talking about too, sure. But these are designed to detect smoke, CO, carbon monoxide, and it sets alarms off. It makes people aware that there's a fire along that belt line. Well, when the CO gets to 5 parts per million, it goes into an alarm. Blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. When it gets to 10 parts per million, amen. I'm sorry, it goes into a warning at 5, and it goes to an alarm, and it sets off an alarm outside, and people know there's a fire on that belt. This is a warning. God is saying we need to get our houses in order. Because this thing's you don't have to be an idiot to understand that things are aligning, the stars are aligning, things are happening, amen. Things are getting ready to, God's getting. I'm telling you, we're living in the time, folks. You got to understand. You know, some people say, I've heard that all my life. You know what? You're fulfilling Scripture. Peter said, knowing this, there shall be scoffers coming in the last day. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? We've heard it all our lives, even since our fathers fell asleep. He said, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. One day is with the Lord is with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know what that says? That promise is the same if it just as He made it yesterday or 1,000, it don't matter. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen. And we're living in those days. And God is saying, if you want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you want to see revival in Bell County, Kentucky, we got to get our house in order. Don't just show up to church on Sunday morning and say, sing me happy and preach me a happy word so I'm happy, happy, happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Amen. But nobody wants any challenges. Stupid. Everybody say stupid. How many of you ever felt stupid? You know what? I'm just going to go on record and tell you, Kevin. I've been driving down the road before and say, you are an idiot. because of something I did. How many's ever made idiotic decisions? Am I the only one? You ever felt like that? I was such an idiot. Is anybody with me? Hear this. Can I have a few more minutes? Oh, I got to get this. He sold soup. He sold his birthright for soup. Hear me. He sold his destiny for soup. Amen. He sold his benefits. You know what? His future was compromised for a bowl of soup. What is your future being compromised for? Oh, I love this, Pastor. He made a temporary decision over a permanent situation. He's going to preach the truth. Elder's going to preach the truth. Amen. Some people allow 30 minutes to define their next 30 years. Oh, Jesus. A temporary decision over a permanent situation. Y'all receive that? What? You just allow things, Tammy, you do things in a spur of a moment. There's got to be a change. Is anybody with me? And then you don't have to turn around and say, I'm an idiot. Come on, is somebody with me? If you're with me, say amen. Now, here's the tragedy. I'm going to try to close here. Here's the tragedy. Verse 17. This is the most important part. Oh, Jesus. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited, he would have inherited. Y'all saying that? He would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Repentance with tears. So it wasn't the decision, Ernie. Hear me. Guys, don't miss this part. It wasn't the decision that caused him to get to lose the inheritance. It was the fact that he could not find repentance. When he was ready to change, he sought repentance with tears, but he couldn't find it. Are you with me? He lost his future, not because of what he did, but he was unable to change what he had set in motion over his life. He was unable to change what he had set in motion over his life. Is that not where we live today? So many in this area are unable to change what has been set in motion over their lives. I speak that every curse be broken over you. Every negative word that's ever been spoken over you be broken. I speak it in the name of Jesus. Every negative word. Things have been set in motion over, you know, and I feel like that there's principality. Do you understand a principality? Talk to them Wednesday night. You can't take on a principality by yourself. There's principalities that have been put in place over this region, and they want to stifle this region. They don't want what has been set in motion to be broken. But I'm looking out at you, and I'm seeing an army of people that are going to rise up, and you're going to say, this is not who I am. I see young people that's going to be doctors and lawyers. They're not going to be struggling just trying to make a living. Amen. And I see people that's going to say, hey, I may be on welfare now, but guess what? I'm coming off of it because God's going to bless me. I'm going to be a royal priesthood. I'm not going to live. I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to break the cycle. I'm passionate about this word. He's unable to change what's been set in motion. You know, we do stupid things. Amen? We get caught up in a system where it seems like you can't get scared. But you know what? I'm going to go on record and say you can fix stupid. If you want to. You know how many's ever said you can't fix stupid? You got to want to. Are we all right? He sought repentance but found it not. Can I have just a couple more minutes? Listen to me, church. He lost his inheritance and he is scarcely mentioned at all, though he was destined to be in the lineage of greatness. He forfeited his greatest moment over a bowl of soup and an inability to correct a pattern of dysfunctional decisions. This may be the best word I've ever preached. If we'll get it. And we'll say, I'm going to change. Amen? Are you with me? He couldn't change his mind. The soulless realm. This affects what happens right here. God is spirit. We're affected through God through our spirit man. This body we live in, this is our flesh. Remember I told you, spirit is king. Spirit should be king. Soul should be servant. And body should be slave. What happens if we alleviate toward the spirit or toward the flesh is what happens right here. We got to change our mind. That's why the scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, be you changed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind, Pastor? You get in the Word of God. You see what the Word of God says about you and who you are. Don't let the news define you. Don't let the paper define you. Don't let magazines define you. This book is what defines you. When you come into alignment and in agreement with what the Word says about you, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. You can cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. You are healed by His stripes. Amen. Is anybody hearing me in this room? This book defines who you are. It gives you your identity. We got to have some change. Somebody say change. Real quickly, I want you to see this. He couldn't change his mind. It was a cycle. Now, the word repentance, now I'm going to close here, I promise. I'm halfway through this thing, but I'm going to close here. The word repentance here is the Greek, it's metanoia. You know what it means? Go home and look it up. I'm kidding. Metanoia, but I promise you I'm telling you the truth. The Greek word, it's the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia means to change your mind. He sought a change of mind through tears. He was pursuing that through tears, but he couldn't get a change of mind. Repentance is not just regret because of the consequences of the actions. Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance, elder, is a change of mind. It says, you know what? I was going this way, but I'm going to go this way. That's true repentance, metanoia. He sought it with tears. What are you saying, Pastor? Tears are emotion. You got to get this. I'm going to quit. I promise. But people can get so emotional, but there's no change. I said there's no change. When I was pastoring another church, I was visiting people in the community. I went and saw this guy one time. Listen, this guy was known of being one of the hardest people in the area. He was known of just being a real hard person and real rough. Guess what? I knocked on his door. He came to the outside of his house. He stood on the porch. And this man stood there on his porch and started talking about Jesus and tears rolling down his face. Emotion. People can cry. Some people can cry at the drop of the hat and they'll drop the hat. Some people can get caught and say, you know, honey, you know, I love you more than anything. You know, it's tears. There's no change of mind. We can get in a church and the worship team can be singing. And I'm going to tell you, music affects you emotionally. And tears can be rolling down your face, but you have no intentions of changing who you are. You have no intentions of changing your mind. You can cry, you can dance, you can clap your hands. But tomorrow, you're the same old demon that you was on Sunday when you came to church. I'm talking about changing and making up your mind and saying, guess what? What I used to do, I'm not going to do. Are y'all hearing me? A change of mind. It's not about emotions. It's not about where you are. Oh, I'm about to blow up, Pastor. Listen, the prodigal son was in the hog pen. There was no song being sung. There was no emotions. He just made up. He's getting ready to eat what the pigs ate. He just made up his mind. He said, guess what? I may be right here in this mess, but I don't belong in this mess. In my Father's house. He said, I will rise. He changed his mind. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to have a pity party here in this mud. Call somebody up. Text somebody and tell them, I'm dying over here. I'm about to eat what the hogs are eating. No, he said, I'm going home. I'm going to the Father's house. He changed his mind. Hey. When the Father saw him, he said, when he saw he was looking for him, can I tell you tonight that the Father is standing out on the porch. He's looking for you. He's waiting for you to come home. And he ran out to meet him. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. And we're going to have a party. Hey. He made up his mind. Wasted his substance on riotous living. It's time for me to go home. Is anybody with me? Let's stand. If I haven't gotten, he saw it with tears. Hear me, hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. An emotional response does not always equate to change. Anybody's ever seen them lay on the floor and cry? There's no change. Are y'all with me? You still love me? Metanoia is a change of mind that is so radical that it affects your behavior. This is not just, God, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me. That's not what metanoia means. Amen? It changes the way you think. Amen? It causes you to say, if I don't change the way I think, I'm going to lose my birthright. I'm going to lose my future. How many knows there's a lot of people that's thrown it away? You threw away some years, but guess what, ho? I'm going to speak a word to you. God's going to give back those years that the canker made. The locust ate, the palmer worm. Ain't that the beauty of God? When you make up your mind, you're going to change your mind. He's giving it back. Angela's giving it back. Jason's giving it back. What an awesome testimony she gave on Wednesday. Change of mind. I don't have to live. I don't have to. Oh, glory. Y'all ain't hearing this. All right, I'm trying to quit. I'll quit. There's more there, but I'll share it later. You want to hear it, right? This is a word, this is a message God has given me for this region. And I want it to get outside of this building. There needs to be a change. Somebody say, change our mind, Lord. Change our way of thinking. Start thinking positive thoughts.